of Jesus the Christ. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diverse of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diverses of operations, but it is the same God. Brother Alex, Unye, you are always moving around. I hope you are learning God's word. You are always moving. When we pray, you are moving. By teaching, you are moving. Hope one day it will not be so explicit that you don't know Bible. Sit down. Lest we name you matter. Moving around. Help people sit down. Getting cake for Craig. And all that. As a ministry in the body. Find out that is a sandal in the body. It's not part of the body. Amen. Verse 5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are differences of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. So we have seen the manifestation of the Spirit is given in Christ Jesus. Not a function of an experience, but what is available in Christ Jesus. And so, we have looked at that manifestation, and we have seen three divisions. Firstly, we see the gifts in diversity in verse 4. Then we see the ministries in diversity, that's the word administrations, in verse 5. Then the way that the gifts work in the ministries, which we call the operations, in verse 6. But in case your mind is trying to wander away, he says, but it's the same God that worketh all, that's operations now, all the gifts in all the ministries. So, last week we began to close in on chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And we have looked at the apostles, we have looked at the prophets, and we have looked at the teachers. We've also seen the pastor, in Ephesians 4:11, as the pastor teacher, the shepherding teacher. We've been able to look at that. So, there are no five ministries in Ephesians 4:11, rather we have four. Now, having said that, we discover that in verse 28, the doctrine goes to say, firstly, secondly, thirdly, after that is after this first three, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. So we'll do something today, we'll examine, because this list here will let us see something. Last week we saw that the body of Christ comprises of four ministry gifts. I'm not sure you saw that last week. Four. I'll say it again. The body of Christ comprises of four ministry gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teacher. Those are the four ministry gifts available in the body of Christ. Now, to further expatiate on that, we look at the three other places, where we can see the gifts of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Before I say that, there's something peculiar about the Corinth church, the church in Corinth. Paul says to them in verse 7 of chapter 1 that they came behind in no gift. So this is a church that we can readily rely on 1 Corinthians 12:28. Because if they came behind no gift, that means 1 Corinthians 12:28 has a more comprehensive explanation. Now, in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That is, God has dealt to men the measure of faith. The measure of faith here is not, as some have taught it, the kind of faith. And they say we have the faith of God and all that. The measure of faith here relates with ministry. Because verse 4 says 4. Now when you read a chapter like that, take away the verses and read it straight. For as we have many members in one body, because verse 4 is telling you not to function below, beyond the level of grace available to you for ministry. Verse 3, sorry. So verse 4 now says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That word there is function. Now, when you say function, that relates to verse 5 of chapter 12. For there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, but there are diversities of operations. It is the same Lord that worketh all in all. The word functions, all in all, referring to ministry. So it says, we don't have the same function. That relates to 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Whenever you see the word the body, it's referring to ministry in this context. Ministry, it refers to body because that's what 1 Corinthians 12 lets us see. Physical body there used there has to do with ministry. The fact that there are differences in ministry. If you look at the body of Christ, whenever it is used, Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 4 and 5, Ephesians 4, verse 7, Ephesians 4, verse 8, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, the growth of the body, verse 16, you will see that it's referring to ministry, how each part functions. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, 5, ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, ministry. Is that very clear? So we can say that readily, every time the body is used as touching individual people in the church, it refers to ministry. Readily, where that's the law of emphatic mention. It's mentioned in several places, and we can conclude it refers to ministry. So again, in verse 4, it says one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, there's sometimes it talks about one body as touching our single identification in Christ. But in this context, where he now says members, definitely it's talking about ministry. It's talking about functions of the ministry. Alright? So in verse 5, it says, For we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So it means one, prophecy, two, verse 7, ministry and teaching, making three, exhortation, making four, he that giveth five, he that ruleth six, and he that shows mercy seven. Is that very clear? It gives us seven differences of gifts available in the body. Definitely, this is not exhaustive. Why? Because in verse 6, it says, having them. Now, look up. Let me explain something to you briefly. And then last week, where you have the body. Okay? The body refers to what? Function. The body is not referring to gifts. So when it says having then, it puts your emphasis from function to gifts. Rather, it's talking about how the gifts should minister. Are you getting that? Okay. It takes it off gifts, function to gifts. Then it relates with how the gifts should function. So verse 6, 7 and 8 refers to the gifts in ministry. Not ministry on its own, but the gifts in ministry have been there. That's what you have. We'll see that in a moment. Now, Ephesians 4. Verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore is there, when he ascended upon high, he led captive captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, that it is, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So we said that this is how the body was compacted. You don't add to the body. You function in the body. You didn't come into the body as a gift. You receive gifts in the body. You didn't come into the body to give something. You receive what to give in the body. Is that very clear to all of us? You didn't come to give to the body. Rather, you come to receive of the body. So he gave some apostles. Who did he give the apostles to? Huh? The giving there, is he talking about giving to receive? That is the way the body of Christ has been compacted. The word gave is to show you the fact that it is a gift. It is free. But it is in the body. You made it in the body. You did not bring it to the body. You did not bring out to the body. You receive of the body. We have one body, one faith, one Lord, one but one God, who is Father over all, through all, and in you all. So you come into the body by identification, by salvation, and you receive what is in the body. Let me see how you get that clearly. You didn't add to the body, you met it like that. Now, let's hold on to that. So he says he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of what? Of the saints, individual people, okay? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, or the perfect man, to the measure of the size of the fullness of Christ, that we also be no more children, tossed and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slander of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the finding of itself in love. Okay, so again, we see gifts, and these gifts are referred to as for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, bad translation. As every man has received a gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Make sure that in your writing, you separate Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and then you separate 1 Peter 4. We'll use 1 Corinthians 12 as our pilot scripture, okay? In seeing where we're going here. Readily we have identified apostle, prophet, and teacher. Everybody sees that clearly. Now, and we also see the pastoring teacher, instead of the teacher, we see that the teacher doesn't stand alone, is a pastoring teacher, the shepherding teacher. We saw that there's the evangelist, we've seen that there's a pastoring teacher. Now, why did Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, say God has set some in the church? First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, he says miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, that's the tongue. So it's verse 39, it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now, notice this. Look up. There's only one naughty statement here. When it says are all, you can readily see a person. Are all, you can see a person. Are all. Are all workers of miracles. But by 30, when it says have all the gifts of healings, you begin to see function. Are you there? Are you there? That's the gifts of the Spirit. He says, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. That's, it separates that. Okay? Now, the only naughty area is, are all workers of miracles. Because earlier on, we have seen workings of miracles in chapter 12, again, verse 10, as gifts of the Spirit, the diversity of gifts of the Spirit. So, we'll look back and say, this is Paul explaining the body. And he says, the body is apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles. This is the body. That's the, that is, when you look at the body of Christ, what Paul is teaching, this is what you're going to see in the body of Christ. You're going to see if a part is not an apostle, the part will be a prophet. If it's not, if you haven't seen a part is not a prophet, it will be an apostle. I mean, either of the parts is either an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, workers of miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, dance of tongues, and basically, that's what you are going to see as the constituents of the body of Christ. So symbolically, the way you look at the physical body and you see a hand, the fingers, you see the leg and all that, you look at the body of Christ and that is what you are going to see. Is that clear? Now, we're thinking, okay? Why did he say he set in the church? And he says apostles, prophets, teachers, after that, the closest listing we have here will be Ephesians 4:11, where we can see the apostle, we can see the prophet, we can see the teacher. So it says, after that, it says miracles, gifts of healings, health and government, that's your tongue. Now if you look back in 30, he doesn't repeat health and government, he doesn't repeat that's your tongue. That's your tongue that explained as speaking with tongues and interpreting. He doesn't mention health and government. But we can readily see a repetition. So if our attention should be on miracles, gifts of healings, dances of tongues. Who's following me? You understand that? He repeated that. So, the emphasis brings your attention. So, in that attention, he repeats miracles, tongues, and gifts of healings, which you can readily see in chapter 12, verse 9, 10, and explain in verse 4 as diversities of gifts. So, look up. We can say confidently that what God set in the church, this is probably difficult for some folks, but what is set in the church from 1 Corinthians 12:28 will be apostle, prophet, and teacher. Apostle, prophet, and teacher. Now, when they said after that is where we will set our mind now. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, are all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now, verse 31. Covet earnestly what? Huh? Now, in the whole of 1 Corinthians 12, did he call, watch me, 1 Corinthians 12, what would you readily see as gifts? Miracles, that's your tongues, right? And gifts of healings. Let me say I'm following that well. That's what you will see as gifts. Okay? In Ephesians 4:11, apostle, prophet, evangelist, the pastor and teacher is the body of Christ. So what is missing in chapter 12 will be the evangelist, correct? Good. That is readily. I mean, before you investigate further, will be the evangelist. Now, go to chapter 12 of Romans. Having then gifts, deferring the grace that is given to us, that readily speaks of gifts of the Spirit. Okay? It says, whether prophecy, according to the profession of faith, so identify prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, rule to rule, that's government, and then mercy. Mercy can readily be seen as helps. Okay? Okay? Helps. Beautiful. So, it says, how many kids, okay? So it lists prophecy, it lists ministry, it lists teaching, exhortation, it says giving, it talks about ruling, and it talks about mercy. Are you there? Are you following? Good. Now, in chapter 12 chapter of Romans, what you will see readily will be how things are ministered. Instructions on how things are ministered. Not the ministry itself. Because by the time you read the entire scriptures, Romans, 1 Corinthians, prophecy is not a ministry gift. It's not a diversity of ministry gifts. Okay? Now, when it says ministry, that is to serve, also is not a diversity of ministry gifts. Where you see teaching, he that teacheth, here you begin to see a ministry gift. When it talks about the he that exhorts, that is to preach, again, to preach, to announce. You will not readily see that as a ministry gift. He that gives, he that rules, can be seen as an elder, okay? A mature gift of God who rules. That is what ministry gifts do in the church. Okay? He that shows mercy and then, with cheerfulness. So, Romans 12, verse 6 to 8 will not be a safe guide to rely on to see ministry gifts. We can come back there when we want to look at how ministry gifts will function, or what ministry gifts will do, or what ministering is like in the church. But basically, we cannot rely on this, because that was not readily what he was talking about. What he was talking about was, look, don't function beyond your capacity. He wasn't readily speaking about the ministry gifts. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, First Peter 4, verse 10. As every man had received a gift, I said that, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Imagine, he says you received a gift, and now says you are a steward of manifold. Okay? So, he was not talking about everybody has one thing. Because he says that you are a steward of a many-sided grace of God. Are you there? Are you following? Now, look at verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, this again is carelessness of translation. Now, the way the originals are like is that if any man will speak the utterances of God, okay? You know, some people come and say, as I speak power, I'm going to speak as an oracle of God.
an oracle of God.
You are really, you are not an oracle of God. Amen. Okay. He says, if any man speaks the utterances of God. That's what he's saying there. If any man minister as of the ability that God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is similar to Romans 12. What he's saying is, minister according to God's ability. That's what he's saying here. So when you're going to speak, speak the utterances of God. That is things inspired by the Spirit of God. That's really what he's teaching here. So we cannot identify any particular ministry gift looking at this verse. Rather, we're looking at the modus operandi. See, when you're a ministry gift, when you're ministering in church, minister according to the ability that God gives. And here he's talking about prophecy, no doubt. When he says utterance, then he refers to prophecy, no doubt. Now, First Corinthians 12. Verse 28. And he set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, other miracles and gifts of healing, helps government as a tongues. Now, remember, during this series we said to ourselves that, for instance, miracles are seen in the ministry of the apostle and the prophet and the teacher. Correct? We saw that gifts of healing are present in the office of the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. Correct? We saw that there's no tongues, you know, in all these three. So, what was he saying when he said, after that? Now, he took away helps and governments. Why does he take away helps and governments? Who can tell us? With all we have learned, you can't say. Huh? Why would he take away helps and governments? Because you don't desire to rule. Do you understand? You are identified as an elder, and then such a capacity or responsibility is given to you. Governing and ruling are a result of being a ministry gift. Is that clear? Is that clear? Beautiful. Now, he now says, watch this. I've all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Now, when he said after that, and he says to desire these gifts that he had earlier mentioned from verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and then verse 11, emphasizes that all this has given to everybody severally. In chapter 28, I'm sorry, verse 28, readily, Paul is teaching you that when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, they will come out like this. They will come out in as verse 28 or chapter 12, or they will come out in chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 11. Let's look at helps and governments. Helps and governments are found in the function of the overseeing teacher. That is the elder who oversees. Helps and governments are found as the responsibility of the overseeing teacher. Now, we look at the fact that evangelist is missing there. He's not even regularly seen. Okay? Earlier on, I would have thought that, well, I've thought this before and I can say it again, and I won't lose it. That miracles and gifts of healings are the evangelist in his formative stage. I can also say that diversity of tongues, health and government will be the pastor in the formative stage. Because diversity of tongues will be in the local church. Tongues was the petition. Health and government, of course, is in the local church. So you say that is readily what the pastor will do. But not exactly. Though we can see it in that light, we can see it in a greater light. Now, let's observe. Paul says to the key word is 31. To covet earnestly the best gift. So every believer should covet diversity of tongues, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit. I mean, gifts of healing. You must desire diversity of tongues, healings, and gifts. Workings of miracles. Every believer should desire it. Let's do an historical examination. The book of Acts of the Apostles, for instance, is not a doctrinal material. But the book of Acts of the Apostles, I mean, don't mind those who say that the book of Acts of the Apostles was the early church and all that. It's not true. While the book of Acts of the Apostles was, I mean, during that period of history, many of Paul's letters were written. Are you following what I'm saying here? Ha. Because the letter was written. Books were written during that period. Letters were sent. So, it's not that there was no doctrine we can't see. And most of the things Paul was sending teachings about were things to explain the experiences that they were already participating in. Now, let's look at diversities of tongues. What is it? It is to speak with tongues and to interpret. Would that be clear? Would that be clear? That's why it was mentioned as diversity of tongues in verse 28. It was split in verse 30. Is that clear? I think I've said that here in this series. Now, let's look at the church. The church. The church. Diversity of tongues will be tongues plus what? Interpretation. Acts 2. In Acts 2, we find diversity of tongues. Acts 2, 1 to 4. The Holy Ghost came, okay, where they were seated, filled all the house. Bible says they appeared very close to the Father and filled all the house they seated. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? Now, when they spoke with tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, all of a sudden Jews who were gathered around there began to hear them speak the wonderful works of God. That means there was tongues and what? Beautiful. So, that was prophecy. One. Acts 10, in Cornelius' house, when the Holy Ghost came on them, they spoke with tongues and magnified God. That is tongues and what? Interpretation. You and I know that in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, the same thing happened. But the difference was who was present. Paul was not present in Acts 2. That was why it was never called prophecy. It was not present in Acts 10, it was called magnified God. Ah, these two magnified God. But in Acts 19, it was specific, they prophesied. When Paul was giving the story to Luke, he said, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Are you following what I'm saying? That's knowledge. Do you understand that? That's knowledge. Okay? Peter just said, ah, can these people, are magnifying God, are speaking in tongues and magnifying God. He didn't know what it was in explicit terms. But, I mean, though, Peter did say that in the last days, but Paul was not of all flesh, and the son of a prophesy. I said that. But Paul clearly explained that this was speaking with tongues and interpretation. So that means, diversity of tongues is what every believer should exercise himself in. It was present in new converts. Three specific occasions. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. Let me see how you get that clearly. Okay? Now, so, when Paul says to desire prophecy, because he said it in chapter 14 verse 1, to desire prophecy, is he saying desire the gift of prophecy? Eh? What's he talking about? Eh? Huh? If you have something, it is yours. And I ask you to desire it. Am I saying desire so that it can be yours? Desire what? To function in it. So, prophecy should be something we function in all the time. Okay? Beautiful. Now, let's look at the other one. Gifts of healings and miracles. Mark 16, where they call it the Great Commission, though it's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission does not involve preaching to non-Gentiles. I hope you know. Non-Jews. I hope you know. But we just call it Great Commission. Let's just call it the, somebody call it Great Commandment. It's the same thing. You all discover all manner of interpretation. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name shall speak with tongues. Of course, that again, clarify what we have just said now. When Jesus shall speak with tongues, new tongues there, involved utterance. Okay? Now shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. That means shall heal the sick. Okay? That's gifts of healings. Then talks about you shall take off serpents, do you no harm. Of course, that is workings of miracles. Okay? If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. That's a gift of faith. Are you there? Alright. Now, you will discover something. And I want you to think, very serious Bible students, that in Jesus' comments, from Jesus' instruction, he mentioned the utterance gifts, mentioned the power gifts, but he's silent on the revelation gifts. In Paul's teaching also in 1 Corinthians 12, he mentions the utterance gifts, mentions the power gifts, but doesn't mention, again, the revelation gifts. If you look at it again in Romans 12, it doesn't mention again the revelation gifts. Of course, it doesn't mention power gifts there also, but it doesn't mention revelation gifts. Now, it causes us to think, it's not far-fetched. So it says to desire the gifts. And it says to desire miracles, healings, gifts of healings, and the utterance gifts, that is, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. So if you have it, it says to desire it. Now, when he taught the Corinthian church to desire it, he had told them earlier that they came behind in what? No gifts. So that desire is not desire to have, desire to practice. Let me see if you understand that. Is that clear? Okay, good. Now let's look at gifts of healings and miracles. Workings of miracles. Readily. Because of lack of knowledge, it was restricted to the apostles in Acts 1, Acts 2. In fact, in Acts 4, when they were going to pray, they prayed specifically that God will grant unto his servants, talking about the apostles, boldness, that they will work miracles in the name of Jesus. They were specific. In Acts 5, they said, in fact, Acts 4:33, Luke says that with great power, give the apostles with the will of the Lord. You know, in Acts 5, you know, the Bible says, signs of the Lord, but the apostles. But by Acts 6, when Stephen and Philip were given visibility. So oftentimes, what happens is that people are not given visibility. There's no allowance. There was stress upon the 12. A lot of stress. As touching doing everything. So they said, okay, pick 7 folks. When they pick those 7 folks, apparently, something is not clear to us there. But I can explain it, you know, from, you know, the wisdom we have in scripture. Now, they chose these 7. They said, look, you guys are going to be serving tables. Okay? But they chose them on one condition. That those guys were going to be full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and they have good reports. So they chose them. So these folks were full of the word. They were full of the spirit. And, you know, it's also good to be full of good reports. Not that you are stealing money in the offering bag. You always lie and all that. So they had good reports. So they could lead people. So definitely, it appears like the apostles saw these guys over time. You think that when they chose those guys, as in they chose them on Sunday, by Monday, Stephen just went out to preach. These things happened over time. Apparently, Stephen and Philip discharged their duties well. You know, they didn't just show expertise in handling keyboard or handling money. They showed that they were full of wisdom. So, Stephen began to preach. And as he was preaching, look at Acts 6. The Bible says that Acts 6, Verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power. Amen. Full of what? Now, when you are full of something in scripture, it is to show that you are controlled by it. You understand my point? You are controlled by something. In the sense of, you are inspired by it. You are inspired by the word faith, there is grace and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen, who was not an apostle, he was not a prophet, he was not a teacher, is somebody following me here, was doing what? Great signs and wonders by preaching. So what was Stephen doing? Stephen desired the gifts of God. Are you there? Stephen did what? Desired the gifts of God. Stephen did exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, in Acts 8, one of such folks, by the name Philip, went to Samaria to preach Christ, and the Bible says in 5, verse 5, 6, and 7, that he did great miracles, outstanding miracles, that those who were paralyzed got up from the wheelchairs, the blind eyes were opened. This guy was not an apostle, he was not a prophet, he was not a teacher. So it was an after that. Somebody following this? After that. So, we see what the after that means. The after that will be ministry gifts in their formative stages. Because in chapter 21, Philip is called what? The evangelist. Not just that. In chapter 11, you know, we saw that Judas, Silas, and Agabus were part of those who left Jerusalem. Can you remember? So Judas, Agabus, Silas became what? Prophets. Now, we discovered that. Don't forget, we discovered that Philip was a prototype of those who left Jerusalem. Everybody that left Jerusalem went everywhere to preach the word. Verse 4, chapter 8. Of which was Agabus, of which was Philip, of which was Stephen. Do you understand that? So, the workings of miracles, the gifts of healings, are ministry gifts in their formative stages. Let me say, and that's clear. Is that clear to us now? That's ministry gifts in their formative stages. So what did God set in the church? Do you understand it now? Do you understand it now? The apostle, the prophet, the teacher. Because when Christians, believers, now first they desire the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, they end up as what? Ministry gifts. That's basically where we're going. So, okay, I said Acts 19. Then observe again. We talk about prophets. I said two. Observe Acts 19. The first prominent thing in Acts 19 was the fact that those folks spoke in tongues and then they prophesied. Acts 19 verse 6. Eventually, chapter 20 verse 28, these folks became elders. They became elders. Forget all these latest appointments they do in church where you are just appointed because you have money, you work in a bank, you have a good car, and you have a good charisma. You know, people like you in church, they make you a pastor. That's rubbish. You know, it's the gifts of the Spirit, okay? The things of the Spirit, your maturity in the things of the Spirit that puts you in leadership position. It's not some philosophy, wisdom, and, you know, counseling. You can counsel people and all that. That's, you know, not really part of it. Okay? So, when it says to covet earnestly, it's not asking you to covet what God has set in the church. Or as the church. It's asking you to covet the gifts of the Spirit that are within you. Is that very clear? To covet the gifts of the Spirit that are within the believer. It says to covet earnestly. Chapter 14, Acts 1 Corinthians. Verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual things, but rather that you may prophesy. So it says to desire that you may prophesy. Note those scriptures. Mark it. verse 1. Verse 5. I want you to all speak with tongues, but more that you prophesy. So Paul is saying, do this more. He's giving them an instruction. Okay? Verse 12. Even so much as you are zealous of spiritual things, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, desire to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Okay? You know, he separate it. He says, while you are desiring to interpret, don't stop speaking in tongues. That's what he's saying. You will find your interpretation there. Because prophecy is what? Tongues plus interpretation. Okay? Now, so, we are, as believers, we are supposed to desire utterance gifts. Not to seek for utterance gifts, because we are, everybody born again has the ability to speak with tongues and interpret. You know, it is our maturity in the things of God that make us look different. Every born again man can work miracles. Mark 16, we've seen that in even the Acts of the church, in Acts of the apostles, that's clear. Now, pay some attention here now. I mentioned about the revelation gift, that is, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and general spirits. Let me show you something. In clarity. I'll show you revelation gifts. Close your books, look. It's a very simple way. The point is, with many of us, is that we are functioning like we are under the old covenant. A man is here now, and he wants to preach. So he's desiring to maybe have a word of knowledge for people, you know. So sometimes some folks are just wake up and then create some journalistic word of knowledge. There's somebody here, you have a dream and the dream is not clear. You know, that kind of person is joking and says that God is saying that there's somebody here, you have been desiring promotion. Promotion is coming to you. That's a prayer point. Now, we're trying to do things under the Old Testament. But let's look at the sequence of things. Don't try to just listen. Acts 2. Peter spoke in tongues and interpreted, and then by word of knowledge pointed to Joel. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, listen carefully. Listen very, very well. Agabus 2. By the Spirit. Of what is it by the Spirit? That is what? Tongues and what? You don't know? That's tongues and interpretation. He that speaks in tongues speaks in the Spirit. You should know that now. Agabus signified by the Spirit. So, during tongue interpretation, Agabus was able to show us something by the Spirit. Are you following that? Acts 13. Again, the same route. They gather together, and then the Holy Ghost said, that's what? Utterance. So revelation came by utterance 3 times. And even more. Now, in Acts, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, when you come together, okay? Listen carefully. He says, and you all speak with tongues and interpret. That's you all prophesy. And there comes someone who's an unbeliever. He will report that God is of truth among you. Is the secret of his heart will be what? Made manifest. He will fall on his face and he worship God. How would that come? By tongues and what? Interpretation. So, the sequence will be, utterance gifts lead to what? Revelation. That is why you must desire what? Utterance gifts. I told you in this series, the way the Holy Ghost comes on the guy in the Old Testament, and then you say, and the Holy Ghost came on me, and the Holy Ghost came on me, then I saw, then I said, and sometimes you see there was a period that Elijah said that somebody's come and play half so that the Holy Ghost will come on him. The way the Holy Ghost, quote and unquote, comes on us here is by speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues, in the Spirit. Do you understand? In the Spirit. Amen. Are you there? He told you that when you speak in tongues, your spirit is what? Edified. He edifies himself, better still. His understanding is unfruitful. So, the lead to revelation, we're not to desire revelation. Are you following what I'm saying? Those of you desire word of King all over the place, you are just going to mingle with evil spirits. Do you understand? You will mingle all sorts. The spirit of your dead father or dead grandfather, familiars will just, you know, fellowship with you. It is speaking with tongues and interpretation. When you interpret, he says it will come out as revelation, it will come out as doctrine, it will come out as a psalm. Are you following me? And all are what? Edified. Are you getting this? Alright. So, in the gifts of God, we are to focus our minds primarily on the utterance gifts and also on the power gifts. Gifts of healings, workings of miracles. There's no better way to focus on gifts of healings than to lay hands on the sick. Amen. Don't say, I have the gifts of healings. It's working in me now. As I'm singing, it's working in me now. Maybe you are the one that is sick. Lay hands on yourself. Lay hands on the sick. Then the sick will recover. That's just, you know, scripture. So, as we look at it, I told you last week that in the body of Christ, all we have is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The other things, we're going to see those exhortation later on, exhortation, those ones. The other things are ministry gifts in their formative stages. Every believer should end up either as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or pastor and teacher. That is where the believer should mature to. That is the fullness of the stature. The measure of the fullness of the stature that is in Christ. What is the fullness? The body. What is the measure? He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are the measures. So when you mature into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you will no longer be a babe, tossed to and fro. But you will rather be speaking the truth in love to the end that the whole body is edified. Hallelujah. Are you following this? So, that maturity comes out as an apostle, as a prophet, as an evangelist, or as a pastor and teacher. But after that, you have miracles. You have gifts of healings. You have the utterance gifts. Where each believer should stir himself up in or towards. Better still. So, believers are to covet these things. It's not that you just be waiting and say, oh, the Lord. You have to earnestly boil on those things. You have to be found zealous about them. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, talking about the workings of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the other tongue, you should be found, you know, boiling. Hallelujah. You should be found boiling over with those things. But you know the funny thing? What I discovered, you know, when I was, you know, preparing this teaching last year, July, you know, I knew we were going to get to this point. I said, you know, to myself, I said, the funny thing is that many folks, they are just as good as they see miracles and gifts of healings and tongues of revelation, and they think that is the height. Something that is resident in every believer, you think it is the height. Praise God. That's not the height. That's the beginning. For Philip, that was the beginning. That was the beginning. For Stephen, that was the beginning. Of course, it ended soon. That was the beginning. For Agabus, you know, and Judas and Silas. Because as we're going to see, there will come, let me use carnal terms, promotion in those things. Promotion. You know, I told you, people don't start as ministry gifts. Is that very clear to us now? Actually, you don't start as ministry, you just go and say, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. From where? When I was young, God told me, along, God told me that I was going to be an apostle. Since then I was born, I used to go out to preach on the streets. I'll just be playing with sand. I'll just get up and go and do evangelism. He has also fantabulous stories. Well, follow Bible. Amen. You know, there is promotion. For instance, Philip. Philip is an example. Philip started out as a deacon. Somebody we gave. Now, if you come to the local church, Philip will be he that ministers, who just serves people. Then gradually, he became he that teaches, who will share. He will preach the word. Then, by the equipment of the gifts of the Spirit, Philip ended up being called the evangelist. Saul, for instance, Paul and Barnabas were classical examples too. Paul was found preaching and teaching. We found that Paul in Acts 11 and Acts 12 was even found doing menial things. He was serving Christians. He was taking food to people. By Acts 13, Paul was called the apostle. Those things didn't happen in 7 weeks or after school of local church. Amen? My next year after WCC, I'll be Paul. Same with Barnabas. You will discover that there was a coveting of spiritual things. You won't just sit there and say, whatever I'm going to do. You will covet those things earnestly. Paul says to covet earnestly. Look at two things. To covet, when somebody is earnest, that means something you do with all your might. Something you place your heart on. Something you are doing. Hallelujah. I don't give a personal experience, for instance. I said, you know, we are very lazy. You are too lazy. Quite often, think of you are just too lazy. You look at yourself. Have you, when last did you just take a 7-day fast? And you told yourself, I'll pray in tongues 10 hours every day. Minimum. I'll pray in tongues 10 hours every day. Minimum. You just said that. That I'll pray in tongues and I'll interpret at least 2 hours a day. You know, that's what it means to convert anything to things of God. And you just do it fasting. And when you get among Christians, you will give a tongue and interpretation. You know, I was always saying, among word folks, you know what's happening to you? You are not converting. You are not coveting the things of God. I was like that too. I mean, I felt, but I just told myself one day, if you don't start, you will never start. And when you have never started, you will never start. And you will never start. In 10 years time, you are thinking with things that you will never start. Praise God. Is it not good to be promoted? So you say, it's Saints Community Lagos. Let me start from Saints Community Igbogila. At least those ones don't know anything yet of Portrait School. So in the Portrait meeting, you now say, glory, glory. You know them, they don't know much. Anything glory, they are already raising their hands. I see some of you. And as I speak forth and I lead forth, you started though. Now, you have to convert earnestly. Don't forget, not just convert. Earnestly. Now, you started. The Lord is helping you. You now get among your folks. You now keep quiet. You have not left that stage. You will never mature into a ministry gift. Because the ministry gift should be able to, listen carefully, the ministry gift should be able to place himself, be placed in the church of Jesus Christ and minister. If you are still a local champion, you are an after that cell meeting champion. Glory. You know, your best tongues are spoken in the cell meeting. When you now come among the folks, you just say, Mah! You're a local champion. You're not contending earnestly. Amen. You should. Praise God. Show yourself to the things of God. For therein will you mature into that place that is already in the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This year I promise you I'm going to push you. Push you. You know, we are still doing theory. We'll get to practical. I'll give you the mic literally. 5 minutes you have to speak in tongues and interpret and bless the church. 5 minutes, I'll time it. Make sure you come that day. I won't even tell you. 5 full minutes. And I'll time it. Amen. Some of you that are pastor, I'll give you 15 minutes. Sir, 15 minutes. Tongues and interpretation. There must be revelation. There's no revelation. You just say, we give God thanks, we bless Him. I'll ask you, are you in the house of Cornelius? We just give Him praise. For that great work of redemption, He's been wonderful, He's been good. You are just lazy. You are lazy. Hallelujah. That's the church. Glory to God. It says to convey earnestly the best gifts. Earnestly. You miss it today, you get on it tomorrow. That's how you're going to mature into the gift of God. You can't just say, I didn't get it right. I didn't get it right. Who has ever gotten it right at the onset? Paul's preaching, he was sent back home. His first preaching, Acts 9. He preached and he created more trouble. He knew, you know, it's a whole lot of that in church. You just hear him talking for the first time, just go. Then you come to this church, say, zero. You guys don't know the Bible. And there was trouble. Trouble that they were not even praying against had come. Peter just said, where is the person? He says, that guy that saw Jesus on the road, that was which guy? Oh, that saw guy. We don't even accept any fool. Bro, get him. Put him back in a nice Okada. Back to Tarsus. Well, he got it right later. The same guy came to Jerusalem. And Peter was taking notes and buying his CDs. Amen. So we are saying, Pastor, that will happen to you one day. I will. There's a whole thing like that. Someone told me years ago, he said, can you just like take a break of studying the Bible for 6 months or at least a year so that we can meet up? I said, when I'm 99, I'll take that break. And if this kind of attitude that you have, not that you won't meet up, you'll be too far. Maybe you'll have been in heaven, said, because the way I'm talking, maybe the angels will have just thrown you back that liability or something. Praise God. Selah. So, truth of the matter is this. Many are not thirsty. Can you imagine somebody? You just heal the sick in a village outreach. You just, all your ministry life, you only have 10 people that have been healed. I already like an MOG. You're a man, you already have high heels on campus. You see? Why? Amen. You know, Philip never stopped. Many years after, he's called Philip the Evangelist. Some of us just stop. You know, what happened? You raise one dead man. You know how many people are going to die? What happened? One blind eye. When there are millions to heal, you just have one. One meeting, give tongue interpretation. Maybe two camp meetings. Then all of a sudden you think you should make it the next pastor of Saints Community. You know, someone just like that. It's time for us to earnestly, we'll get on all this after that from next week, hopefully, because I want to round up this teaching very soon. And we'll see how many of us shall circuit ourselves. Because there are Stephens in our midst and Philips, amen. We shall, not the kind of Stephen that will die anyway, but, I mean, we know what I'm talking about. That will rise up from that guy handling the ocean to the guy handling this. You know, you could rise up in the things of God and contend. Convert after them. It's not a function. I told you, why I'm your pastor is not because of gifts of the Spirit. Everybody has the same capacity. That's not the reason why I'm your pastor. Amen. But I've been saying this thing for 16 years. Some pastors don't like me saying it. Don't say things like that. You'll become proud. They will listen to us again. Well, that means you are not their pastor. Because you are listening. Hallelujah. I've been saying it for many years and you have been listening. Praise God. You too, you will not stop. Abi? You too. Are you lacking any of the gifts of the Spirit? Or why are you scared?
You too, move on now. So it becomes the Paul says that, look, I thank my God. What are you talking? I'm not telling you not to speak in tongues anyhow because I don't talk. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you. Nobody argued. Nobody wrote a letter back and said, what did you mean? It's a fact. Praise God. So the truth of the matter is this. Where we all stop, there are promotions in the things of God till we all come to the unity of the faith. Amen. Till we all come. You know, there's some folks who left this church who used to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and they were told that those things are not for everybody, and they stopped. They never matured beyond those things. Sometimes it's just carnality. Sometimes it's ignorance. Sometimes it's just laziness. Sometimes it's just unbelief that has made many function nowhere. And you know the funny thing? Today, just like salvation, you know, some people are arguing over eternal salvation. Won't say forever. It's an issue. I told you, this is a fundamental Christian understanding. It's not like the height of knowledge. Ah, I know the word. Why? I'm saved forever saved. That's what you mean when you know the word. That's too fundamental. That is like starting out in the word. That is, okay, you want to start out, they will say, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. That is the way, that is how to say you are saved forever. That's what it is. Not at the height of it. Amen. So let us go to perfection. Praise God. Leaving the very fundamentals of the principles of God. Let us move on. So when it comes to tongue interpretation, it's too fundamental in Christian ministry that if it's become an height, you know, I know a church like that. If the pastor in that church, the man is Jesus. If he's speaking in tongues and interpreting, they'll be clapping. One day I went to one place, some years back, 2003, I think. And I took some of I was teaching them how to flow with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, let me close here now. And I was to, you know, take them, you know, on the things of Israel. I don't talk, and I took folks who were coming from our ministry there. And they got there. And as we, and I said, let me show you something. And I bought two of our folks. I said, I'll speak with tongues, they will interpret. They only, eh? So I spoke with tongues. And I said, stop. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Along the lines, the lady who was interpreting called out two people by words of knowledge. You know, said something. And they was, And I said, hold on a bit. I said, do some more. So, and we now did another tag team interpretation. I'll say, she'll start, when this person will speak with tongues, then I will interpret. Let it by two or move by three. And as I'm speaking, as I interpret, I'll stop somewhere. She will start from where I stopped. You know, I say, You know, just like, you know, most of them like that. John, and I saw the Spirit descend on him like a dove. This is a Christian. Start to your feet, give God praise. Worship and blessing.